Perkins Media proudly presents Moms Across America, a program where women can speak their minds openly and freely without fear of reprisal. Moms Across America is about the issues of the day confronting America from a mom's point of view. And now, here are the moms.
Welcome to Moms Across America. This is Vicki Tompkins, along with Ann Ubelis and Dan Perkins. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have a great show lined up for you. But first of all, what are you supposed to be doing, Moms Across America? First of all, reading the Constitution. But get your free copy of the Constitution at ashgroup.org/Constitution. Boy, I think I still have sea legs because I can't get myself together this morning. But anyway, thank you guys so much for joining us. And I'm excited about a couple of things that we're going to be talking about. But today we're going to talk about how important is the Constitution if you're a senator, a congressman, any person who is in any type of elected office here in America. Is the Constitution really that important? I say yes. What say you, Annie? What say you, Dan?
Oh, man. It's not just important for an elected official because they swear their oath to the Constitution of the United States and to the state they represent. But also, when you become an American citizen, you also are swearing an oath to the United States and to the Constitution. So, wait a minute. Don't we have a congresswoman that went to Guatemala and just said she had more loyalty to a different country than the United States that she swore not once, but twice an oath to?
Interesting. And what should happen to her, I ask?
Well, let's boot her out. Tom Holman, here we go. Let's look at Delia Ramirez, who said at the second Panamanian convention, or whatever you want to call it, in Guatemala, that she felt more loyalty as a Guatemalan than as an American. And then she bragged about having an illegal alien by the name of Boris as her spouse. ICE, hello.
What's that number? ICE? Oh my goodness.
It's amazing we have elected officials that she probably never read the Constitution.
Yep.
And even though she swore an oath to the Constitution, she didn't know what she was swearing to, or she wouldn't have said unless she had wanted to make a political statement for whatever reason. But her allegiance has to be to the Constitution in the United States, not Guatemala. And so you could try and kick her out. I think she probably should be censured to start with and removed from any committees that she's on. I just think that we're creating more and more turmoil. The Democrats are upping their game to be angry, to swear, to use profanity, thinking that that's going to help people. Mm-hmm. And the Democrats who say that they're more proud to be Guatemalan than they are Americans are not helping the Democratic cause. And yet there are people in the Democratic Party who say, we're going to win the midterm.
You know what? I don't have a problem with people being, I don't even know what the word to use, but if you are proud of where you came from, if that's another country, I don't have a problem with people being proud of their heritage, I guess I should say.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But when you are in public office like that, and like you said, you have made an oath to that country. I mean, my question is this, why did you come here? I mean, did you flee your Guatemalan country to come here for a better life here in America? If so, how do you have more loyalty to a country that forced you to leave than the country who welcomed you, and now you're in a position of authority in that very country that you're not even proud of? Well, I have a solution to that. I don't think it's a hard sell. My solution is, well, go back to Guatemala. Get rid of your citizenship here in America. Go back to Guatemala and make it better. I don't have a problem with you doing that.
What also happens is it brings into question her motives as a congresswoman. Now, is she helping to pass laws and resolutions that are benefiting her constituents and the United States of America? Or is she doing things to better and help Guatemala over the American citizens that elected her and that she is responsible to? At this point, censure is a calm response. I think she should be facing expulsion from the House of Representatives and no longer work in a legislative capacity where she can do harm to America and Americans.
I agree with you on that. I just find it so funny that, because I'm going to take it back to us. I'm going to take it back to the American people. Why did you elect somebody you didn't even know? Did you know this woman? Did you know her background? Or was it just because she spouted that she's a minority? I'm going to be really honest. I can do this because I don't know if y'all know this or not, but I am Black. So my thing is
No,
this.
Really? I just thought you had a great tan for your vacation.
Yeah, I have my glasses here.
The thing that bothers me more, I think, when it comes to the American people, why do you vote for people just because they say I'm a minority?
Well, that's
an interesting
thing, because on a historical basis, different groups of people, ethnicity, have associated for many, many decades with certain parties.
Right.
Labor has been primarily with Democrats. That's shifted dramatically. It's now switching Republican. Blacks were predominantly Democrats because the Democrats promised them things they never really delivered. But the other thing is, and this goes back way back to our grandparents. You were taught, if you were a Democrat, when you went into the voting booth to vote, the first thing you did on every person that was running, you looked for the small D. Mm. And if that person, that name had a D next to it, whether you knew anything about that person at all, because they had a D, you pulled the lever. And you had what was called straight tickets. You just voted from top to bottom, all the Ds. And so you're right, there are a lot of people who don't know everything about the people they're voting for. They're relying upon the D or the R after their name. But when the D doesn't want to support the country that they're living in and prefer their home country over the United States, then we have to do something. You're now moving away from, as you pointed out, Vicky, we're moving away from the straight ticket votes to Democrats or Republicans. We're voting on people who don't necessarily love the country and have a different agenda away from our country and totally. And the fact that she's more supportive of Guatemala than she is of the United States should be a warning signal that this particular person, if she's not expelled out of the House in the midterm election coming up in a year and a half, she should probably, if she gets nominated, she should probably be voted out. That's how we're going to start changing stuff. We're going to start voting people out. And this is what I think is happening, is that the Democrats right now on a national basis, if you think about it, all of their leaders, all of the supposed leaders, are in trouble one way or the other.
Yeah.
And if you look at what's being put before the American people from the Democratic Party, I'm surprised they haven't lost more people. And when you have the major demographic of young men between the ages of 21 and 30 coming over to the Republican Party, something really big is happening, and especially when most of those young men are Black. Now, you've got here in New York City, Zohran Mamdani running, who is an avid outward anti-Semite and communist. You have Elizabeth Warren, who got proof that she's no relation to the Native Americans. She's a phony Pocahontas, and she's still out there spewing her garbage. You've got Ilhan Omar, who came to the United States illegally by marrying her brother to gain citizenship, and still spouting anti-Semitic trope. You've got Jasmine Crockett, the filth that comes out of her mouth. I'm surprised that the FCC hasn't, you know, fined her yet for what she's been saying on air. I mean, you've got Gavin Newsom, who's ignoring the people in California that have lost their homes, and he's willing to turn around and sell that property to affordable housing. What happened to the people that invested their entire lives in those buildings, in that neighborhood, in those school districts? Their business is there. No, the heck with them. Let's get more votes by putting, you know, affordable housing in there and catering to a demographic that will always vote for him. And you're looking at Beto O'Rourke now coming out of the shadows. Time after time after time. I mean, Mayor Pete looking to run for president again. Oh, please forgive me a break. Transportation secretary that hid on a paternity leave while COVID was rampant and there was no toilet paper around on the grocery shelves because of transportation. What the Democrats are putting forward is garbage, and the American people are starting to see it. And I think this is where the Republican Party really needs to wake up and take advantage of the situation, saying they're not for you. We're going to stand by you. We're going to fix these problems, and we're going to get you an economy that's going to be booming. It already is. We're going to get you jobs that pay an affordable wage. We're going to get you things that you need in your everyday life and make this nation better. And that's where the Republicans need to start making the stand and show the country the debacle the Democrats have left us in.
Mm-hmm.
My rant for the day.
That was a good rant. Thank you very much. I agree with you that enough of us haven't woken up yet, because these people are still getting elected. And the only other thing I can say, if these people are still getting elected, there's a problem somewhere. And some of it can be people, I get that. But, you know, we have this whole situation with voting machines. I mean, I don't understand why we can't have an election on one day, not weeks and weeks and weeks, one day, using paper ballots and hand counting. I don't understand why that's a problem. We did it for decades. Why all of a sudden it's a problem? We haven't grown so much that we can't keep that system going. But here we are. So I think there's so many things going on with elections, so many things going on with who is running to be elected. Because I didn't, you know, being involved in politics, you know, you try to be optimistic. You try to be positive, you know, and really do your research, you know, on the people who are running. But I got to tell you, I have seen more unequipped, lackluster, discompassionate people running for office than I've ever seen in my life. They have no passion for this country. They now have no goals to help the American people. It's all about them and garnering power and money. And that can be disheartening, but I keep moving, and I know you guys keep moving, and moms, I know you're going to keep moving too, because you have enough knowledge now that you're not going to sit back and just let people run over you. You're going to get some answers, you're going to research, and you're going to find out who these people are that are running in your districts, because that's very, very important. So again, moms, thank you for joining us. We'll be right back with our second segment.
The author of Sad Eyes Book 2. In Book 1, we watch her grow up and develop into an intelligent, practical, and beautiful woman. She knows what she wants to be, and she will not let anything happen that will stop her from reaching her goal. Book 2 has many challenges she faces during World War II. People say it's hard to put down. You can get Sad Eyes Book 2 at Amazon.com or JanCarrollPublishing.com and ask at Jan Carroll for a special deal if you buy both books.
Back to Moms Across America, and we're going to get right into this because we were talking off the show during the break about tax credits and different things, some of the stuff from the big beautiful bill. It's going to be huge. I didn't do that very well, did I? So we have the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. So it has passed, and it's going to go into effect. I guess different parts will go into effect at different times. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that Dan had mentioned and Annie were talking about was this tax credit for tuition. And it starts in 2027, I think you said, Dan. What is that amount?
$1,700 is what it is. And it's it, in and I'm being a little editorialized here. It's nothing. I mean,
It is not.
it's a token, but if you think about it, if you send your children to a public school, you're paying for that school primarily out of your real estate taxes, which you're
Yes.
going to hopefully deduct on your tax return. How the tax credit of $1,700, and Annie and I disagree on whether it's for the family or per student. I think it's per student, but she thinks it might be per family. We'll have to delve into that a little more. But the point is, you have to, when you get a tax credit, you have to spend the money out of your pocket first and then put it on your tax return and get it back. Now, that's going on at the same time that Arizona, and shortly thereafter, New Mexico, Texas, and Vermont have, and Florida already have tuition reimbursement.
Okay.
In Arizona, the State Board of Education has determined, I think it's wrong, but they've determined that the value of associated in cost to educate your child is $7,000 a year. So in Arizona, which is now in effect, and went into effect last spring, if you decide you want to take your child out of the public school and you want to go to a private school, homeschooling, religious school, whatever, that $7,000 follows you and can be can get given to you to give to the institution that you want your child to go into. That's significant. It's so significant in that two things are happening. One, when a school district decides to apply to the State Board of Education for funding, they propose a budget, a tentative budget in the springtime, usually April. Varies from state to state, but typically April. And the state then makes a decision, and if they agree to grant you $600,000 for your school district for education, that's subject to an audit at the end of the first week of school to how many people you thought you were going to have in the chairs and how many people you actually have in the chairs. And if you have less in the chairs than what you thought in April, you got to give money back to the state. Well, in some school districts in Arizona, the registration going in for this year are 20% lower than what they were forecasted to be in April. And so
Wow.
school districts are having to cut programs, lay off teachers. Teachers union are screaming. And but it's a practical reality. The problem is, and this is a whole new cottage industry, you may not have heard about this, has been developed. School districts are now paying recruiters to go out and try and convince parents to bring their children back to the school.
Well,
Wow.
you've touched on so many different things in just that little bit, Daniel. But I want to get back to the federal, the big, beautiful bill tax credit. And this is where I'm really confused about this one because it's a tax credit you take off your income tax. That's assuming that you're paying so much tax that you need that deduction. But you have a lot of parents that don't own homes, so they can't take it off their real estate. They're paying part of that real estate tax in when they pay their rent, but they're not privileged to the tax credit. So they may be paying taxes and sending their children to schools, but not getting the benefit of this $1,700 because they don't have enough income. And they're probably going to get a rebate at the end of the year, but that $1,700 has nothing to do with it. So it doesn't really benefit. I'm seeing the low and middle income people because A, number one, they may not be paying enough tax to need a credit for a deduction, or and B, they may not own a home to require to take that credit against any taxes they're paying. So, and for as I understand, this is a donation to be made. Now, does that donation going into whatever school or nonprofit that's doing this education, is that lowering the tuition of the student that wants to apply? Can they apply it to an individual student, or does it go into a pool? There's a lot of questions I have about this, and it's very vague. And as you see, that there's a lot of public schools are losing students. But mm-hmm. here in my state, we've been having tuition assistance programs where the dollars go directly into the pocket of the parent. And that parent can use it in any way attached to education, whether it's homeschooling, transportation, after school programs, or into school tuition. They're free to spend the dollars on that child's education any way they deem appropriate. And I don't see this $1,700 tax credit doing that. I see a lot of faults in it. I mean, I love the big, beautiful bill, but it does have a couple of weak parts. And I think this is one of them.
I would agree. I would agree. And yeah. and it, tax credits, as I said earlier, the reason I don't like tax credits is because you have to spend your money first, then apply for the refund to get the money back. Well, if you don't have the money, you can't spend the money, so you can't get the tax credit. So it should be what Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, and
South
I think
Carolina.
South Carolina, Florida, what they're doing is they're establishing a cost per student, and then they're making that money available to the parents to see it as you said, Annie, they see fit in sending their child to what education they want to send them to. But
and all it should require is that money follow the student.
Yes.
For whatever school, like you said, whether it's homeschool, whatever, but they're never going to, I'm not going to say it that way. That's not how it works in Colorado. And the reason is education in Colorado is probably 60% of the budget, if not more. And most of that money is just going to waste, because I've sat on a board where we see the money come in and we put that money where we think it's supposed to be. And one year we had a surplus. It was only $100,000, which is not a lot when you're talking about the kind of school system we have here, because it's really big. But some of the people on the board were almost giddy that we had $100,000 to play with. I never saw it that way. Because first of all, it's not our money. And I said to them, I said, why in the world do we try to find a place to spend $100,000 when we already looking at our numbers that we're decreasing in students? Mm-hmm. Students are leaving this district in droves, and we're talking about how can we spend a surplus. Have you thought about maybe saving it for a rainy day?
Right.
Because the rainy day is coming. And sure. We're in that rainy day, and they are losing students like you would not believe. And I venture to say that probably in the next few years, we're going to see a lot of brick and mortar schools close, because parents are tired of what's happening. They know that there's here in Colorado, I'm speaking for Colorado, there's a ton of homeschool co-ops where their kids can go a few days a week, get those specialized educational things that maybe the parent doesn't have a lot of skills in, and then homeschool their children. And I got to tell you, their academic progress is so much better than in public school, and they spend less time. So these kids are doing 4 or 5 hours a day, where other kids are doing 8 or 9 hours a day, and they're performing much better because it's education. It's not all the other stuff that they're bringing in that has nothing to do with reading, writing, and arithmetic. And so I think we're going to see some, if there's not some major changes, we will not know public school as we've known in the past. And the charter school that my husband and I helped start, they are expanding. They have campuses almost all over the county now, because it's such a good program and the kids are actually learning and not having to deal with all the social stuff. So I don't really care. I don't like the fact that there's a money or a ticket amount per student, that can travel because there's so many strings attached to that money. But the tax credit, I just don't see how it's gonna, like you were saying, Annie, I don't know how it's gonna be beneficial to most people because they can't afford to spend that kind of money up front.
Right. Very
So
true.
I think when you see a Democrat talk about this is gonna be helpful for families and students and education, say no and run away because it's never that. It is just wasteful.
I
So
think it's representational of the change that's taking place in America. What's happening in our education system, the dissatisfaction with the parents becoming more involved. We're treated as domestic terrorists under the Biden administration and Merrick Garland. That has gone away, and the Trump administration is trying to get rid of the Department of Education at a national level, bring education to our children back to the state level. And I think that we have to do something about the unions within the state and the influence they have in policy and curriculum. Especially if it has nothing to do with reading, writing, or arithmetic. And I think that the American people, and now the American people are seeing what Mr. Trump is doing in terms of the budget of revenue and tariffs, jobs and GDP growth, lower interest rates. He's turning this economy around rather rapidly. And I think the American people are excited about that. And they like the border being closed and immigrants, illegals being deported. The Democrats don't have a platform. And
They
yet,
don't.
for years, they controlled labor, the educational process, the educational systems with the teachers' unions, and they're all losing power. And what's happened, it's happened that what we're seeing today, what we'll talk about in the next segment, of what the politicians in Washington, some of them look like they might be indicted. The American people realize that we have had some crooks and dishonest people in our leadership of our country.
And we're ready to see him in jail instead of just talking about it. You know what I mean? I think people are ready to see these guys truly be in handcuffs. One of the things about the Big Beautiful Bill I like is the fact that those tax cuts that were supposed to go away, from what I understand from reading it, and correct me if I'm wrong, from what I understand, those have be now become permanent.
Yes, ma'am.
And that for the American people is huge. Seriously
Yes.
huge. And so moms across America, go and check out the Big Beautiful Bill. They have it all broken down in 47 pages online, where you can just see the different points of what this looks like, and some little explanations about each part of it. And I know some people say, how do you have to have a bill 800 pages? Well, why don't you ask Nancy Pelosi about that bill they wanted to pass with thousands of pages, and they had never even read it. But they said they'd read it after they read, after they'd go ahead and
Oh,
pass
was that called
it.
Obamacare?
Yeah,
That
how
was
did that
just one of the
one of them?
2700. We need to take a break.
Yes. So we'll be right back here shortly. Welcome back to Moms Across.
This break.
All right.
A Trilogy Plus One by Dan Perkins, The Brotherhood of the Red Nile.
Dan, you owe me a good night's sleep, and I'm really aggravated about it. I read your books, The Brotherhood of the Red Nile, and I got to tell you, I no longer have to take any no-dos or anything like that when I want to stay awake. I just think about the plots of your books. They are absolutely frightening, devastating, in fact, but some of the best reads I've ever had. And I urge everyone to take a look at it. It's a plausible scenario and one that every American should be absolutely aware of.
Available at Amazon.com.
Across America. We're going to go into the third segment, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Washington, D.C., with the indictments that have come forth, or potential indictments that have come forward on previous presidents and previous elected officials in Washington, D.C. Dan, if you could give us like an overview of what we're hearing. Let me just say this before you get started. One of the things that I have, again, being involved in politics and running for office and seeing how people behave, one of the things that I have seen is all that Republicans have the right message, freedom, independence, those types of things, everything that America has fought for in the past, whether it's Revolutionary War, Civil War, whatever, to bring the American people freedom. So I believe in my heart that the Republican Party has the right platform, has the right movement on that. The problem mm-hmm. with Republicans is many of them are too scared to stand up because they might be called a name. They might be called a racist. They might be called something else. So they have a fear of not standing up, and therefore we don't present the message well.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you have the Democrats. The Democrats have no message. The Democrats, many of them are communist or socialist. They do not care about America, and they definitely do not care about the American people. But their message is emotional, which unfortunately, too many people are emotional versus thinking and having common sense in listening to what these people are saying. But their message, because it is emotional, draws people in. But what is happening in DC now, I think, is going to cut that off. So give us that, what you've been sensing or what's been said about these potential indictments.
Yeah, thank you. I think you have to start with the concept that for a long time, Democrats have been in control of the House and the Senate, whether or not they had the elected majority, they mm-hmm. were in control. And as you pointed out, their intimidation of Republicans caused the Republicans to fold and join the Democrats in whatever it is they wanted to do. I think that when America saw what happened under 4 years of Joe Biden, they saw inflation, the price of eggs and bread and inflation and how it affected their lives, a diminishing economy, and fear about the future, not any optimism about the future. When they chose on a majority basis to elect congressmen and senators that gave control of the House and the Senate to the Republicans, but also the presidency, the Democrats, as we all know, for years, almost 8 years, have been trying to make sure that Donald Trump could not run again
yep.
in 2024. They committed crimes of manipulation and intimidation, and they hid the documents. And one of the most important things that came out this past week was we found Tulsi Gabbard received information, for example, from a whistleblower in the FBI that said had interviews four times with the FBI where she was raising the concern about what was going on with Mr. Schiff when he was a congressman and he was leaking classified information to the media to tell stories to try and affect the outcome of the election and to diminish Donald Trump. I don't know whether it's treason or not, but it's certainly a felony. He's now under serious investigation. Brenner, Comey, and a bunch of other people in the administration are now looking at the Congress and the investigating committees dealing with documents. And it's not hearsay. It's actual documents, meeting notes, directives, emails, where Barack Obama was looking at a security briefing, which would have been the last one for him as president in December, refused it because it basically said the Russians did not infiltrate either campaign and were not trying to get one candidate over the other being elected. And that created a problem because the narrative was that Trump was an operative for the Russian government and Mr. Putin and on and on and on. And so mm-hmm. those documents were hidden. When the Trump administration took over and began to uncover these documents and started sending them out and getting them cleared to be released, to be transparent, they started to come out in waves. Now we have situations where 2 weeks ago we thought that Mr. Obama, as former president, was being protected under the immunity laws that were ruled on by the Supreme Court as acting as president in either the commander in chief or the chief executive. He had immunity from activities, but not activities as a private citizen. And so what we had is a situation where the president and his advisors developed a scheme to discredit Donald Trump, to ultimately pressure him to try and resign, even though he was elected. And that continued after he left office. At that point in time, when he w was in office, there's a question of whether or not he had any liability. I think he did. But he continued that activity after he left his presidency. There is no immunity. So now, yesterday, we had paperwork coming out from Tulsi Gabbard of, again, more testimony, more documents of disclosure of what was brought out implicating Hillary Clinton, Clapper, Brennan, Comey, and President Obama, Susan Rice, and others of a conspiracy, which is a felony. We got more and more evidence. And I think that we're going to see shortly, maybe by the end of the month, Pam Bondi to convene at least one grand jury to investigate what the Biden administration and the President of the United States, his involvement in the Russian scandal, even after he left office. We've never seen these kinds of discussions before. You know, Kash Patel found in what they call the burn room, where there are documents that need to be destroyed, are put in what are called burn bags, and then there's a room where they're collected. And he went through in essence, he went through the trash and found documents that were amazing about what they were able to discover of what the hell was going on. Most people don't remember this, but when the January 6th committee adjourned, the protocol in the House is that all documentation collected under that committee was to be preserved to go to the archives. They burned it. They destroyed all of it. All of it's gone. And so American people are looking at this and say, wait a minute, do we really have evil that people that are that evil, including the President of the United States, in their hatred for Donald Trump and their desire to get rid of him? That they use the entire power of the government to try and get him not in the campaign, and after he won the campaign to try and get rid of him.
And with that information being burned, how can they honestly say that people who are still in jail should still be in jail?
Right.
All these people, in my opinion, whether they did something or not, because some of them did, let's just be honest, some of them did some stuff. I don't know how, without the evidence, how you can keep holding these people.
You know,
That's
they say power corrupts, but this was absolute power, and
absolutely.
absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Absolutely.
You have people from the January 6th that went to jail, never saw a day in court, never had
Never.
charges filed directly against them, only threats of it. I mean, you had one young man stay in there 4 years and 4 days and never once was charged. That
That
is in violation of the Constitution of a speedy trial to face his accusers. And we hear case after case on just January 6th alone. Who else did they pursue besides Donald Trump, Peter Navarro, General Flynn? We can go on and on and on. People that went to jail like Peter Navarro for what? For presidential immunity?
And I gotta tell you, these people, as far, and this is my opinion, and I don't know how the law works in this regard, but these people need to receive restitution for what they lost because of this. And the people who did this, from the Wyoming lady, who I don't even remember her name right now, she needs to be in jail because she knew what she was doing when she headed up that committee. And it's just wrong. And all the stuff that's coming out now, think about this. Because the time when you were talking, Dan, this is a thought that came to my mind. If President Trump had done his terms, his two terms simultaneously, we'd have never known about this stuff. We'd have never known about it. So I know I was upset when he lost 2020. I still don't believe he lost. But I am glad here in 2025 that he has started, through his team, has become to uncover this stuff. I'm just going to call it stuff because it's a mess. But they're uncovering it now. And that's what we all had wanted. I don't think we would have gotten that in 2020. I don't think they would have been able to discover it like they have now.
No, he learned. Those 4 years, yes. He was not in office. He looked at it. He examined it. He looked to see what was going on currently and what happened to him during those 4 years. And he's turned the tables on them. And if you notice, if someone is not working for him up to snuff, he has no hesitation in immediately getting rid of them. The current IRS commissioner being one of them. And he's saying, all right, you're not doing your job in your position. You're out. I'm getting someone else in there who will. He's learned. The first thing I screamed when he didn't change personnel when he took office in the first term was, you got to clean house. He's doing that. Not only is he cleaning the personnel, he's cleaning out the back rooms where the burn bags are. And the nation's going to see in the next year huge changes. We're having seen Letitia James already starting to come up and being investigated for her phony mortgage, for her false prosecution of Donald J. Trump. We're seeing this now with Adam Schiff being exposed for betraying government secrets and for his dirty mortgage deals. We're seeing time and time again now, we're saying, all right, you say it's the law is equal for everyone. We're now applying that law equally.
Yeah,
it's not tit for tat. It's applying the law justly and equally.
And I am convinced that the reason they did not want Donald Trump to win is for exactly what is happening right now. And I tell you, the Republicans better not mess this up. They better not mess this up. They have a great opportunity to really, really clean house. President Trump can only do so much. But they really do have a chance to clean house. And I'm telling you, I want to see somebody in some handcuffs because this is wrong. They have destroyed people's lives and they've done it on purpose. So if the American people don't see that, it's not going to bode well for Republicans. I'm just saying. So if you're hearing us out there, Republicans, congressmen, senators, y'all better be listening to what we're saying because you screw this one up. We coming for you next. And you will not see the light of day in any type of office. Just saying. Well, thank you, Moms Across America, for joining us. We appreciate your time. Moms Across America will be right back for our fourth segment.
For this break.
All right.
A Trilogy Plus One by Dan Perkins, the Brotherhood of the Red Nile.
Dan, you owe me a good night's sleep, and I'm really aggravated about it. I read your books, The Brotherhood of the Red Nile. And I got to tell you, I no longer have to take any no-dos or anything like that when I want to stay awake. I just think about the plots of your books. They are absolutely frightening, devastating, in fact, but some of the best reads I've ever had. And I urge everyone to take a look at it. It's a plausible scenario and one that every American should be absolutely aware of.
Available at Amazon.com.
Welcome back, Moms Across America. And this is the wrap-up. So we started out talking about, what did we start talking about? Got my notes everywhere. Oh my goodness. Anyway, we're going to talk about several things that we talked about earlier.
That works. Oh man.
And this is going to be the funny segment.
Well, one of the segments, I believe it was the second one, we were talking about the elections and how to make elections more sound. And one thing I wanted to mention, we ran out of time, is that my idea is the best way to preserve the elections. You have them on one day of the year, not on November 5th, but on April 16th, the day after you pay your income taxes. So after you pay that, you take that check to the mailbox and you shake and you pay it, you vote the next day. How does that sound?
I don't know, but that might be a pretty good idea right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, because people are already high up on having to pay taxes. Maybe they'll get rid of the bad guys so they don't have to pay so many taxes. So that might be a good idea.
You know, you're speaking of taxes. While a lot of people don't know, the income tax as we know it today was, I think, passed in 1913. Up until that point in time, we collected no taxes.
Yep.
We collected tariffs. We funded
the government with tariffs.
Interesting.
We funded the government with tariffs. And the way things are going, we may be in a situation where already we had a surplus at the end of June of the revenue versus expenses. And I think that as we get more and more deals done, and more revenue. What's amazing is, for example, when they agreed to terms with the European Union on changing the tariffs to 15%, the European government agreed to fund 750 billion, with a B, $750 billion worth of energy purchases from the United States. Oil, natural gas, and coal.
Wow.
Now, 40% of the energy that Europe uses comes from Russia. So the 700 and some significant portion of the $750 billion they're going to spend with us and not spend with Russia means Russia is going to have less money. And you look at this past week when the government, Trump, put in a 35% tariff on India. He did that because India is one of the largest buyers of Russian oil.
Oh.
So if they were to agree to buy like Europe did, X billions of dollars worth of oil, I think you might see that tariff go down in India. What's happening is that the president is leveraging our energy capabilities and he wants to grow it dramatically. And that will be a weapon and a tool to make America grow better than it probably has since World War II.
Yeah.
And that was a war economy. So the American people are looking at things and are saying, gee, he is delivering what he said. He's written 280 executive orders so far in 200 days. And
it's hard to believe for me. It's hard to believe he hasn't even been in office a year and he's gotten all of this done already. But when you're talking about tariffs, I heard this clip of President Trump and he said, I'm not going to say it word for word, but basically what he was saying is we want to get rid of taxes altogether and that tariffs will be how we run our economy. So when you said that, that just clicked, that clip that I saw was just a little, you know, maybe 10 second clip. And he said that, and I heard it and I was like, oh, okay, let's do that.
Yeah. Well, if you consider in 1930, only 16% of what you paid out was for taxes, for federal taxes. Today it's 65%.
Yep.
And we have done that in less than 100 years. So now let's see if we can now reverse it and then get rid of the income tax amendment. Amend the Constitution and get rid of the income tax completely.
Why not?
And abolish the IRS.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
You'd like that, huh?
But I had not thought about that 1913. I knew that's when, you know, we hadn't paid taxes up until that point. But when I heard President Trump say that about tariffs, and then you just said it again, I thought, if that happens, can you imagine how great that would be for the American people? I mean, my goodness, God only asked for 10%. Why is the government getting 65? That's all.
Well, just think about this. If we were to repeal the income tax and get rid of the IRS, how much more can we open up the economy? Because now you don't have to worry about all these this paperwork you have to accumulate to pay your taxes, to account for your deductions and everything else. How many more of those hours will go into back into the economy to create wealth? Originally, the income tax was only meant for the top 5% earners. That's how it was sold to the American people. Only the very wealthiest, the Roosevelts and so forth, they're the ones who are going to be paying the taxes, not you and me. But instead, it reversed. So now every single person has to file an income tax. It takes time. And if you don't have the money to hire a CPA, you're stuck. If you don't know the laws, and how many pages are to the income tax law?
Oh, gosh, ridiculous.
Thousands. Thousands.
That's a low count.
Yes. Yeah, I used to work for a CPA, and he would get his new, the new book that would come out every year, and he read it like it was a novel. I'm sorry, why did my camera keep going out? He was reading it like a novel in his office one day. I was like, what are you doing? He said, I'm reading the tax codes. And I thought, okay. He was like, so excited to get the new book. And I was like, wow, I'm glad there's people like you. No. Because people like me would not enjoy that.
No, I had to get a tax accountant. I had to pay him $1,400 to prove to the IRS I do not have to pay taxes.
Yeah.
I'm like, $1,400 is a lot of money to me.
That's a lot of money.
But only to prove to the IRS I don't have to pay taxes.
Right.
Well, according to President Trump, or what has happened in the new big, beautiful bill. I started to say the new green bill. Oh, Lord. The big, beautiful bill is that the tax cuts that he had put in place in 2017 are now permanent. And right. I got to tell you, that's a big deal. And right. I'm excited about that. And anybody who's paying any kind of attention should be excited about that, because that really helped a lot of people. I'm just excited to see how much is truly happening and how many of our days.
200 days.
Only 200 days, and he's done all this.
And it seems like a lot longer than that, as you said. I agree with
you. It does. It seems like he's been in there. He's on his third year or something. But it's been so wonderful just to see the changes. I don't know how gas prices are in your guys' neck of the woods, but I know we have Sam's Club here, and they're usually lower than everybody. And I think the last time I got gas, it was like $2.37.
Wow. Well, I'm not that low, but that's terrific. We also talked about education and what was going on in some states with out of the big blue, big deal, whatever, beautiful big deal. There's a tax credit for education coming in 2027, which pales compared to what's going on in Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Florida, and South Carolina, and I think Vermont, where they're actually giving a voucher to the parents. Arizona, the new program went into effect this year, and parents can take their child out of school and look for an alternative education, and they will get a voucher from the State Department of Education for $7,000 for each student in the household each year for the parents to decide where they want to send their child to school and what they want to pay. And that's created a tremendous problem in Arizona, because school districts have to make their budgets in April, and they budget what they're going to have in terms of seats and children in the seats in the beginning of the next school year. And their budget is based on that. And in Arizona, in some cases, the population is down 20% from what they expected it to be in April. And so they're having to lay off teachers, cut programs, and the quality of education for children is going to continue to decline. And so this is a trend that's going to happen and continue to happen. One thing that we also talked about was one of my favorite polling organizations asked the question, who should be counted in the U.S. Census? Census is important because it determines how many congressmen an individual state's going to have. Like Texas has got a problem. The Democrats have a problem because Texas has grown since the last census, and they should get 5 new congressmen. California should lose 5, and so on. Anyway, the polling data, we had 23,000 people responding to that poll this morning. And the answer to the question, who should be counted in the U.S. Census? 25.5% said everyone. 74.5% only citizens.
I agree with the 75%.
And when we think about citizens, and we have the congresswoman who went to Guatemala, who talked about she was more proud of where she was Guatemalan than she was an American, there was a dispute among us. Some thought she should be drawn and quartered and withdrawn from Congress. Some thought she should be censored, but she took an oath when she took the oath of office to support and protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and the American people. And if you're saying it's more important to be Guatemalan, and this is really visually, when you look at all the riots that took place in California, we didn't see American flags. We saw Mexican flags and Guatemalan flags.
Yep.
And so those people that were protesting weren't Americans because they weren't protesting with the American flag.
Well, you know, the Constitution says you count the residents. Now, if you're here illegally, you are not a resident. You don't count according to the eyes of the law. So the law says if you're here legally, you're a resident. If you're not here legally, you're not a resident.
Right.
So that's your answer right there.
Right. And Donald Trump said this week that he told Pam Bondi that he wants the Justice Department to do audits in all of the voting registration rolls in all the 50 states and eliminate before the midterm all duplicate people.
Yes.
The Democrats are going bananas. That you can't do that.
Well, some of us are already doing it.
Yeah, they're showing themselves when they rally against that kind of stuff, when we see it as corruption and should be fixed, and they're like, no, no, no. And then we come up and say that everybody should be counted, not just American citizens in the census. That's ludicrous. I don't understand how these people think they are even being relevant, because most of us know that's not right.
Right.
No, it's foreign interference in our affairs. Do we go over to China and live there illegally and then interfere in their affairs? No, we'd be thrown in jail. You would never see the light of day if you saw it the next day. You can't do that in Russia. You cannot do that in any other country. You're not a citizen. You have no voice.
That's right. So remember that, moms across America, because you're America, and only Americans should be counted in the census. So we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
God bless.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Thanks for listening to the show today. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you'd like to send a comment, please do so by sending it to dan@danperkinsmedia.org. And thanks for listening to the show today.